We are starting a new sermon series today. We're out of single messages. I don't know why, but the Beyonce song just straight up came. All the single messages. So distracted right now. Wow, Vineyard sermon series is starting today. Love it. On the bottom of the graphic, this sermon series is on the life of a believer illustrated by the vineyard. It's on your bulletins. It's on the connection cards, which, by the way, start filling your connection cards right now. I would appreciate it. Vineyard. Vineyard. I think my wife has heard me preach some version of this message 15, 20, 30, 40 times over the last couple months. She knows this message probably better than me right now. But we're starting off with a message entitled, "It's Not a Miracle, It's Natural." It's not a miracle, it's natural. I love it. We're starting in this one verse that kicks off Jesus's ministry. It's a miracle that announces him to the region, where people see him, that he's not just a man, he's not just a prophet, he's not just a good teacher, he's the Son of God. It's his first miracle. It's turning water to wine. It's John chapter 2, verse 2 through 9. On the third day, that's significant. Circle that in your Bible, please. It's okay to write in your Bible. A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me?" I would have straight got slapped if I said that to my mom. Different time, I guess. Jesus replied, My hour has not yet come. It is not my timing. It's not my timing. If you're writing notes in your Bible, circle that and say, "It's not my timing." Jesus replied, "It's not my timing yet." And his mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Indicating, "I'm your mama, I spoke, and I know you're going to come through." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to his servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. It's Jesus' first miracle. It's the miracle that pronounces him to the world that he is the Son of God. Water to wine. Such a random miracle. Of any miracle that Jesus did on the earth, that's the weird one, right? Maybe the mud in the eyes one would be weirder. But water to wine, that's so abstract, right? Like, you want to have a better drink at the wedding? Here you go. Here's my miracle. Like, of everything he did, water to wine? Really? I was studying this scripture, and one of those moments when God just speaks to you so clearly, and you just he just unraveled the mystery of this verse to me. And it was one of those moments where, you know, you God speaks, and you just start ugly crying, and you're just writing notes. This was actually just one message I was going to speak a while ago, but then ended up becoming a 7-week series just from what God spoke. Thanks, God. On the third day, which is an indicator saying, hey, there's going to be another third day coming. But this is the beginning third day. There's going to be an ending third day. This is a slight illustrative nod for Jesus being dead in a tomb, walking and shaking death off himself out of the tomb and entering the world. It's a parallel story. On the third day at this wedding, the wine ran out, so Jesus turned water to wine on the third day. Water to wine. Why? Water to wine? It's kind of interesting. I was studying this scripture, and when I read scripture, I might be the only one that does this, but I actually read scripture like a movie or a video game, or I'm imagining the Word of God as YouTube, basically. I'm watching it. I have to put myself there. I'm watching it all happen, all unravel. And I was picturing Jesus walk into these basins that were empty, but they were actually meant for cleansing. But why are they empty if they're supposed to? Anyways, we can't sidetrack on that. So they fill it up. He turns it from water to wine. And I was like, God, explain this miracle to me. I was just clear as day. The Holy Spirit whispered to my heart, that's not the miracle. That's actually natural. That's happening every day. Water to wine. I was like, no, it's not. People also have to go to the store. You buy one or the other. That's not, doesn't make sense. And all of a sudden, I saw, just as I'm picturing and envisioning the story, I saw the water to wine stretched apart. And all of a sudden, I saw the timeline of it. The same water that they put inside these basins, God showed me the timeline from water getting to wine. The water would be poured into the ground, seep down into the soil, come up through the vine into the root system, up into the branches. That same water go into the buds, then into the grape, then plucked from the grape, then crushed with the juice to come out, then fermenting for a long time, and eventually into wine. It's not a miracle, it's natural. Really, what's going on here is God removed the time out of the equation, and the ending just went back to the beginning. And instantaneously, God said, this, it's the same thing. I just removed time from it. God lives outside of time. He literally has the audacity and power to remove time from anything at any moment. Because he's God, he can do whatever he wants. That same water to wine, it wasn't that he did some kind of magical thing on it and it all of a sudden transformed. He literally just removed time from that water that would have been poured on the ground and gone through the entire process, and seasons later would have been brought back to be used. Water to wine. It's not a miracle, it's natural. And then I was picturing this, and I had this, the separation and the whole illustration and the YouTube video in my mind of what God was actually doing. And then it got deeper. I was like, okay, so what does that mean? It's not a miracle, it's natural. And the whole input of God saying, no, it's because I have the authority and the power and the audacity to do whatever I want. I can take the water and turn it to wine right now. But I choose to allow the world to go through the seasons to get the fruit. I choose that. I have chosen that. I am actively doing that. I am transitioning the water to wine through you, and I'm willing to wait. See, the real miracle isn't transforming water to wine. The real miracle is God's grace and audacity on waiting on us to transform the water of life that comes from God, filters through us, goes through all of our seasons, and transforms into the fruit that we can produce from God. That's the real miracle that's going on. See, the water to wine part, that's natural. Happens every day, all day long. If you need proof, you can go up to any store and see the proof and the evidence. It's always happening. Water is always turning from water to wine. It just takes a long time to do it. And then one of the coolest nods that God gives in the scripture says, oh, on the third day. The third day, are you catching this, humanity? In case you're not, I'll say the third day, Jesus has the audacity to say, on the third day from my tomb, when I walk out of the tomb, shake off death, hell, and the grave, I will walk out as the bridegroom, which, by the way, he's at a wedding. It's another nod. And then that's when we start the process. He He's like, because now you can have relationship with me, and now I can transform water to wine through you all day long. Because I rose from the grave. This sermon series is inspired all off of this one aspect, this one concept. And we're going to be going through the different years of a vineyard and how they coincide with the life of a believer. It's crazy. It's crazy how things line up. It's crazy the things that have to happen in a vineyard actually have to happen in the life of a Christian. And Jesus says they have to happen in the life of a Christian. That's what the most audacious thing in this. Jesus' miracle of turning water into wine isn't the miracle. That's the natural part. This scripture, this sermon, we're going to be looking at three things that Jesus removed. So he kind of talked about one is time. Number one, time. Time. First thing that God removed to get water to wine in this instantaneous method was he removed time. God has so much grace that he's willing to give us time to complete out our purpose, our calling, and live out our life to see fruitfulness. It's so wild to think that God can do something instantly, but he's willing to wait on us. I can barely wait on my kids to put on their shoes without doing it for them. And God's willing to wait on us for years because he sees what we have the ability to do. A, God's timing. God's timing. God's willing to wait and wait and wait. And what's so crazy about God is he's willing to set up giving us water over here years before the fruit's actually needed. Because he's like, okay, I see this here, so I'm going to start working with you here. And some of you, I'm going to start working here, because let's be honest. It's going to take a little, I'm talking about me, of course. It takes a little longer. And God starts giving us this water of life. We'll get to that in a few weeks when we actually talk about the root systems of a vine. He starts giving us the water of life to start just sweep it under. Knocked off the bowl with a Christmas decoration. Just kick it under. Some kid will put it back up. The water starts going through the root system. And God has the audacity. That's my favorite word for today. He has the gall to wait on us. God's timing. It's so funny. It's like, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I'm jumping to point B right now. Really, God's waiting on you. Our seasons. Our seasons. You know, as God sees that he needs this fruit to be plucked at this moment in our lives to perpetuate the next season of people needing fruit, he starts with us here, but in reality, sometimes it's not just our timing. It's not just God's timing. It's our seasons that we're in. It's our timing that we have to work with. Have you ever heard God speak to you? And you're like, yeah, I get it. But you really don't. You're just like, man, you know what? I need that. But I like where I'm at right now. And then God's like, okay, time is moving forward. And you're going to need to get this sooner than later. Because if you don't get this nutrient inside of your vines and through the branches, it can't start growing the fruit, and then the fruit is not going to be there for when it's needed. Our seasons are critical that we grasp what God is speaking to us about. When God speaks to you through a word of encouragement, through the Bible, and you feel convicted, you just feel something in your heart, and you're like, man, that's good, that's deep, that's cutting me. I feel like I just need that right now. God's saying, yeah, you do. It's your season. You need to move on right now. He's like, the timeline is moving. I have fruit I'm expecting. You know, farmers, they set up all the bottling and all the barrels and everything is designated at a time to come into their warehouse because they're expecting the fruit to be ready at that time. They have to orchestrate all these things together because there's an expectation the fruit will be ready, just like with God. He has an expectation that fruit will be coming. But if you're not willing to take what God has given you and implement it to transition into the next season of your life, you'll be far behind. And then what happens? Your fruit is so less productive. If your fruit isn't harvested at the right time, the yield is significantly less. I was watching this documentary on Netflix on harvest time inside of a vineyard, and they were saying that there is an open window of about 7 days. And if it's not harvested at that time, they can't get the fullness of the fruit. And then the crazy thing is, if weather comes in and the farmer isn't preparing that crop for that weather, the yield is almost halved and is so bad that sometimes they just completely kill off all the fruit because the farmer wasn't prepared for that season and the root system wasn't prepared and the vines weren't prepared and nothing was ready for what the season had in store for it. It's crazy. Our seasons are so critical. Are you listening to God in your season right now? Or are you too comfortable and you're like, I'm good enough in this season, I don't want to move on. I purposely wore this outfit today to make this point. This is a summer outfit in December. I turned the heater on extra early this morning so I'd be comfortable. But I'm hoping this illustrates well enough what some of us look like to God. We're holding on to our last season so tight. It's like, man, I'm so comfortable in this, God. Yeah, but I got winter clothes for you because it's winter is coming and winter is here. Your season is so critical. Time. And see, fruit perfecting. These 3 points really bleed together, but I wanted to have a designated separation a little bit. Fruit perfecting. See, there's God's timing where he's setting us up on this timeline at the very beginning, and he's starting to give us these nutrients, this water illustrated in the soil, if you will. And then all of a sudden, our seasons start kicking in where we're growing our branches out. We're growing these different things. But then there's this third aspect of this fruit is perfecting. This fruit is perfecting. Do you know wine, when it's taken off and it's crushed, just like the last song we sang, it's crushed and it's poured out and all the liquid comes out and it's poured into a vat or a jar or a barrel or something. It has to sit there for time or else it's vinegar or grape juice, right? It needs time to sit there. The fruit needs time to sit. Do you know how many Christians think God's timing, it's come to fruition. My seasons have changed, and now I have fruit. There was fruitfulness. So what's the deal? Why do I not feel complete right now? Why is my fruit doesn't feel fruitfulness? Because your fruit has to have a season of perfecting also. Do you know how many times I've heard pastors say, you don't know the fruitfulness that you've already sown? How many times in a youth group I speak into a young person's life and all these different things, and what, a decade ago, decade and a half, it was a hot minute ago, and I'm just starting to get those messages now, 15 years later. That fruit has been sitting for a long time. Don't discount your fruit sitting in dark, dim places where you think that it's over, but really it's perfecting. Your fruit needs time to perfect. Don't for an instant think, oh, this fruit, it's wasted, it's going bitter, and you think, oh, I better just start over. No. Your fruit needs time to perfect. Don't allow your mindset to start worrying and wondering and getting all into whatever. No, God is allowing. God is working with that perfection season of that fruit. Number two, Don't put it up yet. Did you? Okay. Let's just check. God stole time away from the water turning to wine. That was the biggest thing. He took time out of the equation. The second thing he took out of the equation was the branch. He removed the vine system from the equation. Number two, grace. Grace. Jesus, in turning water to wine, bypassed the branch. That is the biggest slap to humanity ever. God said, woman, it's not my time yet. Meaning, I have things in mind that will take time because I'm waiting on humanity. It's not my time yet. It's not their time yet. I'm waiting on the branch. The branch. I'm waiting. You guys notice we have branches in our Christmas decorations. It's vineyard theme. We're preaching this sermon series through Christmas and into the new year. Grace. God removed his grace from turning water to wine. His grace is what enables us to sit connected with him, transferring the water from him through us, the branch, and into the fruit to be harvested. He removed time and he removed grace to show, listen, I can do all on my own and it's gonna be good. But I'm choosing to have grace on humanity and saying, I want to use you in this kingdom mentality, in this kingdom aspect. Grace. Do you know a branch has three responsibilities? When a branch is connected to the vine, it has three things it needs to do. Three major things. There's a lot of little things it's doing, but three major aspects. This is under the grace point. A branch must grow from water. It has to absorb the nutrients in the water and grow. It has to. It has to grow from it. I was in Bible college and I had a professor say he visited this tribe and he had a translator and they were, you know, doing different things and all the different things. And he said the biggest takeaway he had there was he heard someone give someone a compliment that they hated. Like, this person hated that person and gave them a compliment. And he's like, okay. He said, may you never change. May you never grow. And the translator's like, oh yeah, it says, may you never change. And he's like, okay, so. Did he just compliment him? And he's like, I'll tell you later. So later on he said, meaning, if someone never grows, they'll never change. They'll never be better. They'll be stuck in their ways forever, and nothing will ever happen with their life. They'll just be the same. As a branch, we need to absorb the water from the vine, which is Jesus. We need to absorb what he is speaking to us and giving to us. But guess what? We got to grow with it. Our goal is not to take what he gives us and throw it at something else. Can you imagine if the branch, like just a little bitty branch, sprouted off the vine and then said, you know, I'm done growing. I think I'm just going to try to go after fruit now. But it's only like this big, like just an inch long or something. How much fruit would actually be able to be produced off of an inch long branch? I don't know. One bunch, maybe? And it's sad because so many people are good enough with that. I've grown a little bit. I'm good. I don't need discipleship. I've learned enough. I went to Sunday school. I'm done. I know the Abraham song now. I know the Moses song. I know all the colors and the crayons. I stayed in the lines mostly. I'm done growing. It's not good enough. You would be so limited in your ability to have fruit from God. You can't sustain and carry what he actually wants to give you and what he's promised you. You need to grow with it. Your responsibility as a branch is to grow. You take what God has given you and you grow. You have to. You have to grow with it. There was a pastor. Do you guys know who Wayne Cordero is? Wayne Cordero? He's a pastor in Hawaii. He started the Life Journals and he's doing his thing. There was a pastor, another pastor who had this mega church who had a moral failure. And an organization asked Wayne Cordero, could you fly out there and just minister to him? He needs a friend. He needs someone to pray with. And so Wayne Cordero was like, okay. One of the most genuine, real people ever. He's not one of those pastors that floats with like a robe and is like, hello, how art thee? You know, just a genuine person. Just real. So Wayne Cordero goes out there and he sits down with this other pastor, and Wayne Cordero's sitting there, and he goes, I gotta ask you, you know, I just wanna talk. How did you do it? And the pastor goes, well, you see, and he goes, you're misunderstanding. I mean, how did you get up on a Sunday every morning and like give people words of encouragement every Sunday? And like nothing hit home. Like, how did you do that? How did you live like that for so long? I just wanna know, I'm just curious. Wayne Cordero was telling the story, and the pastor was like, out of everything I thought you were gonna ask and everything I had prepared, that was nothing of what I was expecting you to say or question me about. So the pastor goes, you know what? What was happening was I took my Bible every Sunday, and I took it, and I went like this. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. And he goes, what I needed to be doing was taking it here and then doing this. Taking it here and doing this. Taking the word of God, putting it in my heart, and then throwing it out. Not taking the word of God and just throwing it straight at people every Sunday. I need to take it in my heart first. Our responsibility is to grow from what God has given us first. First and foremost, we have to grow from it. Grace. Grace. Grace enables that we can grow from God. Grace, the second thing, B, transfer the water through us. Not only are we absorbing what God has given us, but it's to transfer through us. Do you know how many believers think we're good enough by just saying, you know what, God's given me this, give me this, give me this? No, you're missing it. What good is a vine branch in a vineyard if it never produces fruit? It's just going to be long and scraggly. Just a nasty long vine just sitting in there doing nothing. Has to take it, absorb nutrients, and then pass it through for the fruitfulness to take place. Can I challenge you? Get up off of your comfort zone and start transferring what God has given you to other people. If you went through heartache in something, oftentimes you will start having divine encounters with people with that same heartache. It's not weird. It's God. It's like, I can't believe how many people I've run into with the same thing I went through. That's so weird. And God's like, do you know people I had to orchestrate on a daily level to pass by you and to talk to you about that, buddy? God's just like, I'll keep doing it. Maybe they'll catch on someday. What's this point again? Grace. Grace. God has audacious grace to keep setting us up, to knock it out of the park. God's grace is abundant. God's grace is what he wants to, that's what he's doing. C, hold tight the fruit. Hold tight the fruit. Hold tight the fruit. The last major aspect of the branch is to hold on to the fruit. Do you know, It's not the branch's job to decide when the grapes are done. It's the farmer's job to come by and pluck the fruit. It's wild. Do you know how many times the branches, if in a vineyard, if a branch lets go of the fruit too soon, the fruit is thrown away. It's useless. What's Joe? I'm sorry, I can't remember the time frame. What's the time frame from fruit being plucked off a vine to having to be used? Was it
7 days?
7 days? Yeah. It's a limited amount of time that the fruit departs the branch into being used. And it can't be up to the branch to decide when the fruit is ready to be used. There's fruit in your life where you're like, yes, I've done it. All right, I want to move on. And God's like, whoa, it is not your time to move on. You are not done with that assignment. I choose when you're done with that assignment. Keep holding tight onto what you're producing. Do you know how many, what was that saying? Quick feet. Do you know how many people, they feel like they've arrived and they've made it and they're good to go. I have fruit. I am fruitfulness. Look at this. It's so nice. It's so good. Okay, next thing. And God's like, you just killed your crop. I'm going to have to start over with you now. Okay, so now we're going to be a season behind. But my grace is abundant and I'm willing to wait again. I got to hurry up. Number three, don't put it up yet. Oh, okay. Did you already? Oh, well. Number three, excuses. You know, this is the third thing that God removed when he transformed water to wine. Excuses. Number three, excuses. Excuses. Not his excuses. Our excuses. The third thing of when God instantaneously removed time, removed grace, removed excuses, when he took that entire time frame of transitioning water to wine and instantaneously made it happen, the third thing he removed was excuses from humanity. Excuses. A, the excuse of not good enough. I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not qualified to be the representative that connects God to the fruit. I'm not good enough. I'm sorry, but you are, and God has chosen you. What's like the oldest saying that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called? God didn't choose you because you're good. Can we just be real? None of us are good enough, all right? God didn't choose you because you're the best option. He chose you because he knew and can see what you're going to become. You ain't good enough to be connected from the vine to the fruit. But God transforms you. He works with you. He spends time with you. And because you're growing from the nutrients as you absorb them, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. Third thing that God removed was excuses. Meaning that when you're the branch connected to the vine, God hears these excuses all the time and he's willing to still love you in spite of those excuses. God, I just can't produce fruit. I'm just not good enough for this. I'm just not worth it. My past is hindering me, which is, sorry, the dumbest excuse ever. Because your past is in the past, and God's working on your future, okay? They're not even connected. Not good enough. Another excuse, B, no time. I just don't have time to do this. You don't have time to do this. I always think of, like, whenever I tell God, I just don't have time for this. I don't know how I got this image in my head, but I'm standing before Jesus on the cross and he side-eyes me and he's like, you don't have time? He just side-eyes me and I just imagine Jesus saying, I took the time to come off my throne onto this planet where it's hot, dirty, and they only have chanclas right now. They don't even have shoes, and I have to walk through sand. Some of you don't, chanclas are sandals. Also, weapons of destruction for children. It's an announcement, just letting you know. So, we're almost done, guys. We just gotta get through a couple more. Can't distract you too much. Okay. So I imagine Jesus side-eyeing me, looking down. What do you mean you don't have time? I have spent all of creation since before the earth was even here thinking of your name and what your purpose would be. What do you mean I don't have time? Spent millions of years thinking about you. Well, God, No, you got time. You got time when you realize priorities. You got time when you realize your priorities. If you make a list of your priorities on this planet, you will start realizing you got time. You got time. That B is also the excuse, no time. We can default. And they're similar excuses, but I didn't want to separate this into a different one, but it's the someone else will do it. That's partnered with that. I don't have time, the no time. Someone else will do it. No, they won't. Woo! Things just got real. Someone else will not do it. God doesn't need someone else to do it. He needs you to do it. You know, inside of a vineyard, the farmer will set up very specific shoots and stocks in very specific locations to have very different fruit. Even though they seemingly look all the exact same, the farmer, I almost said the father, the farmer knows exactly what he's doing. He's like, I need this to be this, and I need that to be that, because I have this order over here and this order over here. Only you can do it. No one else can. You got time. Just imagine Jesus up on the cross side-eyeing you, and you'll have plenty of time. And you too can have time. Thanks for the nightmare. I got plenty more during this sermon series. Oh, just kidding. Excuses. The other excuse. C, not enough money. I wanted to pinpoint this one, even though this was a broader excuse. It's really supposed to be not enough resources. But I think we understand it better if I say not enough money. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. This is what I need to accomplish. No, you got everything you need. You just need to be creative with what you got. God wants to challenge you a little bit. Figure it out. I need $10 billion to be able to do. No, what? You need to take yourself, who's connected to me, the resources will flow through you, you take it and grow, and you pass it on. You really just need that. Everything else is just an extra, a bonus. God can make it work. If God can transform water to wine, removing time from existence in a vat barrel, he can make whatever little resource you got work. Okay? He has the audacity to do whatever he wants. Not enough money. This miracle was how Jesus announced to the world his ministry had begun. I think it's kind of funny because his ministry wasn't necessarily miracles and saying, look, I can transform water to wine. It's the coolest magic trick you'll ever see. But in reality, it's saying, listen, I'm using humanity to transform everything I give, the source of life, into fruitfulness. That's his miracle. That's the grace. You are called, you are chosen, and it's all because of his grace. The sermon series is on the life of a believer illustrated by a vineyard. I'm telling you, do not miss any of these sermons. They all build on each other, and it comes full circle. This sermon series is easily probably one of my favorites I've ever had the privilege of God speaking to me to preach on. I'm really excited about it. Next week, we start diving into what the vineyard actually is and how it's parallel. And we'll go ahead and put up the stage decor because it is a vineyard, but we didn't start in the vineyard just yet. The vineyard starts next week. Can we close our eyes? Lord, we accept the fact that you are utilizing us to speak to us, to grow us, but also to be fruitful. We accept it. We understand it now. I pray that you would keep opening our eyes, keep speaking to us this week. We'd realize that we have more to this earth than just sitting around abiding time. But Lord, we have purpose. We have calling. We're part of a grand scheme known as the kingdom. Let us start understanding that we bear the weight of a mantle that you have placed upon us. And we can no longer just be connected to you, but we are connected to you so you can flow through us also. Lord, start giving us divine encounters where we can utilize fruit in. We start meeting other people that we can start speaking life into them. We can start giving them encouragement, just like how we gave each other encouragement at the beginning of this sermon. Speak to us, minister to us, and then through us. In your mighty name, amen.